prophesying that you are growing spiritually is the expression of the nature of God, who is love, through your life. And marriage is a great platform to practice that. Marriage is blood covenant. You see, when people don't understand that marriage is blood covenant, they think of an exit route. They think of a back door that they can go through.
So if your husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church, wives submit your own husband as your head, right? But this is a symbolism of Christ's relationship with his church.
Love comes in different colors. Welcome to Colors of Love.
Let's talk about love. Amen. Let's talk about love. Who is excited about that? Hallelujah. Amen.
This is Colors of Love special. Amen. Sorry, we didn't put out the adverts early enough. I don't think they did. Amen. We had some technical issues. Hallelujah. I have good news for you. This Sunday, next Sunday, and upper Sunday will be Colors of Love Live. Amen. We'll be talking about love, romantic relationships, marriage, dating, choosing a life partner. Amen. Making your marriage work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Who is excited about this? Amen. Hallelujah. And maybe let me just drop this. Lady, never be embarrassed or apologetic for being excited about relationship. It's your makeup. Let me tell you something. It is your makeup. It's part of your makeup. Are you aware that by design, ladies have more goals about their head to be more relational than men? Amen. Guys are too very logical. It's part of the makeup. It's part of the design. Okay, and by design, ladies have more big relationship goals and pictures than guys. Hallelujah. Or than men. So never be... You know, sometimes when we talk about relationship, marriage, family, and ladies shout, there are those who want to try to make them feel bad. Amen. And don't feel bad about it. It's part of the balance you bring. Just your design alone. Just like by design, you were designed to nurture. It's not your fault. You were born with womb and breast. It's not, you just came like that. And those are designs that show that, look, you were created to nurture. You didn't ask for it. You were born with womb. Glory to God. And that says something about the design. A man is not the same as a woman. A woman is not the same as a man. Hallelujah. I just want to give somebody confidence, and I'm sure you are excited about that. So this is Colors of Love special. Have a ladies, I was waiting for a good shout after this. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So we'll share wisdom that will bless those that are married, that will bless those that are single, those that are singles over these 2 weeks and 3 Sundays. Hallelujah. Let me start by saying this. The concept of prosperity goes beyond financial prosperity. In the mind of God, when God talks about prosperity, and by the way, prosperity simply means to do well. Glory to God. To make progress, to advance, to do well. That's what prosperity means. Every time prosperity is mentioned in heaven, God sees beyond money. Amen. Financial prosperity is just an aspect of prosperity. But the concept of prosperity covers other aspects of our lives way beyond finances. And part of the things that prosperity covers is our relationships. Are you listening? Meaning, in God's mind, when you talk about doing well or talk about prosperity, in his mind, your wisdom or your how equipped you are to do well in the social and relational ecosystem around you is important to God. Are you listening to me? Very important to God. He doesn't just want you to prosper spiritually. It's also very important. He doesn't just want you to prosper financially. It's very important. He also wants you to prosper in your relationships. And a major part of that relationship is marriages, romantic relationships, those that are in courtship, those that are preparing to get married, those that are married already. He wants us to prosper in that area of our lives. That means God is not happy for you to have money and have your relationship or your marriage messed up. He's not happy about that. Or you are deep spiritually, you have a walk with Him, you are born again, spirit-filled, you understand how the kingdom of God operates, you can call heaven down, but you don't know how to relate, you don't know how to take care of a woman, you don't know how to take care of a man. Glory to God forevermore. So very important, every time we mention relationships, God's wisdom for romantic relationships, God's wisdom for marriage, God's wisdom for family life, understand that, look, this is part of God's package. This is part of the provisions of heaven to give you that holistic life on the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And trust me, if you think you want to just prosper spiritually, financially, mentally, and not interested in prospering in this area, you may be distracted. You may be frustrated in the days to come. You may be angry at life in the days to come. Why? Because see, all these areas that I mentioned, they work together to give you a balanced, satisfied, and fulfilled life. I can assure you, if you have all the monies in the world, all the anointings in the world, you can call fire from heaven, all the intellectual prowess in the world, and your home is messed up, your children are messed up, your husband is angry with you, your wife is angry with you, you are in trouble, you'll be frustrated. Are you listening to me? So I'd like us to pay attention. And pay very close attention. One of the things we must strive to accomplish in our lifetime on earth is to gain balance. Very important. To gain balance. The more you grow, the more you understand what I just said. You know, Papa Hagin, Brother Hagin used to say this, that on every matter, stay in the middle of the road. And you see, when you're a young person who is passionate for God, you want deep things, quote and unquote, and you read a statement like that, you'll be like, oh, Brother Hagin, just calm down. Let's push these things. No. The more you grow, the more you agree that balance is extremely important. That the key to fulfillment, the key to satisfaction, the key to living the life that God has called, programmed, anointed you to live on the earth is to pay attention to being balanced. So you will not downplay truth that God has captured in His curriculum for our dispensation just because it sounds carnal. For example, even when you talk about financial prosperity, there are some deep people who think it's carnal and they are wasting their time. Sooner or later, they will know that money and financial prosperity sponsor spirituality. Once they start getting frustrated and getting tired, that's when they come to know. But why not understand from the beginning that God wants it to be balanced? He wants it to prosper spiritually. He wants it to prosper mentally. He wants it to prosper financially. He wants it to prosper in your body. He wants it to prosper relationally. He wants it to do well. He wants it to be equipped with the requisite knowledge. He wants it to be armed with His wisdom as far as this area. These areas are concerned, and in context, in our talk in these 2 weeks, as far as relationship, marriage, romantic relationships are concerned. Write this down. Assumption is the lowest level of knowledge. Assumption is the lowest level of knowledge. A lot of people think they know, but they don't know. It's amazing how Christians jump at things assuming they know. In the context of our discussion, marriage, relationship, somebody say, marriage, why do you need to learn about marriage? Man, love man, I love you, talk your own. You love me back, we marry. We live. Until they get married and they are shocked. Until they get married and they are surprised at the inability to make it work. They are surprised at, I thought you loved me. I thought I loved you. What happened? And they can't explain what is going on. They can't explain how they are feeling. They can't explain what is happening. And sometimes they see, but I thought I loved this woman. I thought I loved this man. What's happening? Why is it all of a sudden different? Why? Most times, assumptions. They go in thinking they understand how it should work. And watch you, some going armed with the wisdom of this world. And I'm going to talk about that. Listen, your best bet is to get a hold of God's wisdom. Man's wisdom has failed. The wisdom of man is failing. Can you see? Can't you see? Check the divorce rates. It's to show you that God is still wiser than men. And the earlier you hug the wisdom of God in this area, the better for you. The Bible says there are many voices in this world. None is without signification. Meaning, when you turn on your TV, they are talking to you. When you watch a movie, they are talking to you. When you go to the mall to shop, they are talking to you. When you go on social media, there are many voices. There are many voices about relationships. There are many opinions about marriage. There are many voices about romantic. There are many ideologies. None is without signification means all of those voices will take you somewhere. If you follow the voice and the wisdom of the world, it will take you to where you don't want to go to. If you follow the voice and the wisdom of this world, it will give you an end that you don't expect. So there are many voices. There are many opinions. But God has his wisdom concerning this area. Write it down. There is the wisdom of God as far as succeeding in relationships and marriage is concerned. There is the wisdom of God. God has something to say. There is the opinion of God. There is the truth of God. It's not really an opinion. Well, you know, when you use opinion, sometimes it sounds like, okay, that's his opinion. Next. No. There's a mind of God. There's a way God thinks about it. There is a definite truth, definite wisdom as to how to make a relationship work. Premaritally, in marriage, there is. God has something to say. And listen, every time you subscribe to the wisdom of God concerning any issue, you have rest. Your decision to go with the word of God concerning anything benefits you first before God. That's the truth. Meaning, when you see from scriptures that, look, this is how to do this, this is how to do that, the first beneficiary of your application of that wisdom is not God, it's you. So the wisdom of God is for us. The wisdom of God is for advantage. Going with your opinion or the truth of God concerning this matter is for our lifting, is for our peace, is for our fulfillment. Hallelujah. Let me still stay on this a little bit. Watch me, everyone. Look at me. Listen. If you have not made this decision before, make the decision today that you will always shun the wisdom of this world and go with the wisdom of God. It's a decision you have to make. A lot of people have pierced themselves with many sorrows. Forget that your friend that is married now and riding the latest car in town and intimidating you. When you go close, you may be shocked at what is happening to her, especially when you know she breached the wisdom of God to get it done. Never envy anyone who goes against the word of God to do their own thing. Never envy them. No matter how flashy they look on the outside, there's a lot they can't tell you. Glory to God. And if you are intelligent spiritually, you know that there's no need to envy anybody. There's no need. The Bible says God is rich towards all who call upon him. Hallelujah. We stay with the wisdom of God. God still has something to say. Sometimes and most times they are unpopular. But it's still the wisdom of God. You stick with it, you have peace. You stick with it, you have joy. You stick with it, you have fulfillment. Hallelujah. You see, that's what we call subliminal impact. Let me take movies for example. Let me tell you, every movie you watch that was not made by a kingdom person has a sublime message they are trying to pass across to you. Don't argue with me. Just observe. You sit down to watch a movie, Hollywood, Bollywood, Nollywood, Kellywood, whateverwood, drywood, wetwood. No, when you watch closely, listen, there are no agenda-less things in the world. Everything has an agenda. In fact, every brand you see has an agenda. When you go to the business world, there are no agenda-less stuff. It's only Christians that want to do things or doing it sake. The guys on the other side know exactly what they are doing. Why do you think they put gay scenes in movies that has nothing to do with gazing? You think it's not intentional? It is intentional. They are trying to create an acceptance by consistently doing what we call visual assaults. And then reduce, you know, before, fast, backward, our precious daddy has lived, let me assume, I'm sure it's over, let's say more than 50. That means 40 years ago, he was already a young man. He will tell you that 40 years ago, when you mention same-sex marriage, the person can be killed for saying it. Is that true, sir? But see, over time, through subliminal impact, when it is said that some of you have friends that are gay. No, you have friends that are gay. You know it, they know it. They have told me I'm gay. There's nothing you can do about it. Are you listening? Now, watch it. This is not to judge anyone. I've counseled. This is not to judge anyone. We'll begin to judge people who are no longer Christians. Amen. This is not to judge. But see, I'm painting a picture to you that what was responded to with aggression 40 years ago. Somehow you have seen it in many movies. You have seen activism on TV. You have seen, and someone says, okay. And see, the way you process that is very important. As a Christian, you are not to judge, but that doesn't make it right because you have seen it in many movies. Are you listening? But somehow there's an acceptance, subliminal. I'm telling you that whether you like it or not, you're interfacing with the world. You are hearing voices, and they are projecting things to you in the area of love, marriage, romance, and relationship. And it's for you to make a decision to stay with the wisdom of God. Cohabiting, for example. Listen, whether you like it or not, when you watch movie, it's the norm. You see somebody proposing to someone that they believe it together. I say, I better not be. I say they are proposing. I say, what are they proposing? But they've been staying together. If some even have children, they are proposing after two children. If you want, now there's nothing wrong with, again, the balance is, okay, maybe the person wasn't born again or did not know the truth. They have children and now they want to make it right. You come to church, we'll bless you and all that. But you understand what I'm talking? Social media proposing is always best they propose to this lady. Then they have two children. I can't get it. But you see, you are laughing now, but you see, subliminally. In fact, there are people who come to church speaking tongues and don't think there's anything wrong with cohabiting. Why? There are many voices in this world. None is without signification. Over time, subliminal impact. They've been seeing things upon things, and things that should be frowned at are becoming norms. They are becoming norms. They are becoming new normal. And some of those things are anti-Christ. They are anti the ideologies of the kingdom. They are anti the wisdom of God. They are anti the plan, the programming, the agenda, and the order of heaven. Are you following me? I know I'm saying something a little hard. Somebody said the compromise of one generation becomes the culture of the next. There was a little compromise here and there. It's becoming a culture. I'm a pastor. I've been counseling people for years. For years. I know what I'm telling you. No. The person loves God from their heart. But you're wondering, so why are you doing this? To them, it's okay. I didn't know there was something wrong with it. Why? Many voices in this world. They were not born with it. They were cultured from the environment. And this is what I want you to be aware of. As far as romance, relationship, marriage is concerned, not letting the environment culture you. You know, a friend of mine was talking to me. He was talking to a man in Port Harcourt. And the guy was like, why can I not have affairs with people? I take care of my family. Yes. He was talking, real life story. I'm not telling you. He said, I'm a responsible man. I take care of my wife and children. So what? To him, watch this. To him, he has been cultured to think that being responsible is giving your wife and children money. You can go around sleeping around. And again, there are women that have accepted that. At least he takes care of us and he comes home. Nonsense. I'm gonna share some very important things with you as we go through this. You will use it to help yourself and you use it to help others. Ladies, you have to learn to set your standard. Nobody will increase your value for you. You will set your value and people will rise up to meet it. You will determine what you are worth and whoever is interested will come. You know, there's this thing that, okay, if you set a high standard, you drive people away. Nalayo, you drive away the wrong people. Am I talking? And set the space for the right people. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. You have to set the standard. You know, most times, young men know what they want in relationship. Ladies don't know. Or they may know, they are quiet. They are not. Men are up front with what they really want. If you listen, you hear. If a guy would just want to be sleeping with you, he will say it from the beginning. It's not. Do you understand? He is not just, okay, let's just hang around. I just to be my babe. What does that mean? And let's see how it goes. He has told you. So you now decide, am I a lady that will just be hanging around and see how it goes? Do I want to be somebody's just babe? Glory to God. You decide, but he just told you the direction from the beginning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you learning something already? We have the generation that will let the word of God culture us, not the environment, not what we watch on TV. They have told you that a real man is tall, dark, handsome with six packs and six figure income. And then God sent you a man that is 5.2. No, I'm talking. He sent you a man that is 5.2. The picture you saw on reality show, you are following Kardashian and you saw pictures. You want to apply to our innocent brother in church. Who did this to you? Pictures, programming. But what says the wisdom of God? What says the wisdom of God? I told you about the sister. Years ago, she was married an Italian Jew. She's not married till now. Two hard combinations. Jews are very few. Italian Jew is difficult. Where did she get it from? Maybe she watched something. I said, what are you talking? Italian what? She's believing God for an Italian Jew. And you are using faith to cover it. You'll be single for long. You may find him in heaven, and there's no marriage in heaven. You see, his name will be Antonio Giuliani. But listen, it sounds funny. Where did she get it from? From somewhere. From somewhere. From somewhere. Hallelujah. Some of you are laughing now. If we check your list, we'll be surprised. When I say self-standard, it's not foolish things I'm talking about. Oh. I'm talking about standards in line of core values, character, and compatibility of destiny. Not looking for an Italian Jew. Hallelujah. I mean, you're looking for an Italian Jew. Then this Biron boy comes. Well, how will you combine it? His name is Bam. Glory to God. While you are waiting for Guglielmo, Giuliani, hallelujah, Roberto Giuliani, praise God. See, I subscribe to the wisdom of God. I subscribe to the wisdom of God. I refuse to be influenced by the environment. I refuse to be influenced by the wisdom of this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Is it time for them to leave? Have a seat, chief, sir. Can we celebrate them? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir. We'll see again. We'll talk on the phone. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is this how we celebrate people in glory zone? Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. All right. 1 Corinthians 7, 25 and 10. We'll kick off from there. Hallelujah. We are guided by the wisdom of God. Guided by the wisdom of God. No foolishness. Guided by God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, now concerning virgins, who are virgins, singles. Now concerning singles, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Verse 10. If you come around colors of law, we usually start with this scripture. And this is very important. It shows us a view, okay, scriptural view about handling issues that have to do with married and has to do with singles. It said concerning virgins, which means singles, I have no commandment, express commandment of the Lord, but I speak as one that has obtained mercy. Glory to God. You agree that in premarital state relationship, in premarital state, certain met areas agree. For example, there's no way the Bible commands that every tall girl must marry a short boy. Amen. Every tall lady must marry a not so tall young man. It's not there. Glory to God. In order to balance the ecosystem. It's not in the Bible. Neither is it there that every chocolate skin, shumar, you understand what I'm trying to say? A lot of gray areas. If you set from Genesis to Revelation, you may not, maybe very few people on earth may find the name of their spouse within the Bible. Man, very few. Very few. And that has to be a confirmation, sir. Maybe the lady's name is Anna, you are reading, and Anna did this, and then Anna keeps ringing. And then the next day, and Anna comes to your life. So this was what I read in the Bible yesterday. But very few names are in the Bible. Maybe only 30% of us have our names in the Bible. So if you have to follow that, it can work. Glory to God forevermore. Are you with me? There's nothing in the Bible that talks about, okay, every lady should marry at 23, or at 22, or at 25. Every young man should marry at 26, at 25, at 28. It's a gray area. But Paul is saying, as someone that has obtained mercy, I can instruct. Are you listening? But that doesn't mean there are no areas of singlehood that have clear instructions from scriptures. If you talk about your sexuality premaritally, there's clear instructions from scriptures. Hallelujah. But the Lord of it is fluid. It's A lot of gray areas. So we bring the mind of God as people that have obtained mercy. As we observe, as we learn, as we walk with the Lord, we bring the counsel of God to those who are single. Verse 10. Give me verse 10 very fast. And unto the married I command. Can you see? Yet not I, but the Lord. So there are express commandments for those who are married. For example, Ephesians chapter 5 talks about husbands, love your own wife as Christ loves the church. That's the command. There's no gray area. Wives, submit to your own husbands. That's the command. You see, for Christ is the head of the man is the head of the wife in the context of marriage. So the headship of man in marriage, let me just say this, is not superiority but responsibility. Are you listening? For those who think they are African men and they have become lion of the tribe of their house, it's not, it's for order, it's for responsibility, not control, not so that the woman can become a punching bag or all sorts of things. Listen, any man who beats a woman is a factory reject. You know what I call a factory reject? When you have done mass producing things, those ones that you can't sell out, and you keep, we call them factory rejects. It's a harsh word to use, but it's true. On a normal day, no husband and wife, you are not supposed to beat a woman. Not husband and wife. Do you understand? Including the rude ones. Get someone else to handle them. You're a gentleman. Amen. I'm talking about not relationships. Yes, now there are some that must be handled. It's true. Must be handled. Get law enforcement or just get someone to just carry them away or something. But not you trying to slap, trying to beat. It's unmanly. It's unmanly. And I'm serious about that. It doesn't reflect the character of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and give himself and all that. So the express commandments, and then we give judgment as people that obtain mercy. We will take some questions. I'll take questions for 10 minutes, okay? But when I'm done, so we can write your questions. I mean, just take just 3 questions today. Next week, we'll take some questions. Upper week, we'll take more questions. Is that okay? Now, this morning, I want to share on the 5 myths. 5 major and destructive myths about romantic relationships and marriage, about love and marriage. 5 myths. Myth is M-Y-T-H, right? Myth. Myth. What is a myth? A myth is a false notion. A myth is a concept that is unfounded, meaning there are no principle evidence. They don't have, you can't trace them to a principle in the universe. People just believe them bogusly. So we call it a false notion. And most times, false notions are deadly. False notions are destructive. False notions, you can't live by them. So a myth is a false notion. I'll go to 5 major and destructive myths about marriage, love, romantic relationships. And I want to pay attention as I go through them. Because some of us have those things somewhere in remote forms, in remote places, in our minds. And we have to expunge them as we share God's word. You have to let them go. You have to say, look, this is not the mind of God. This is not the opinion of God. This is not God's design. And just drop it off. Are you listening to me? So what are the 5 myths that we have to refute and expunge about love and marriage? Number 1, love just happens. I don't have control over it. Write it out. It's a myth, it's false, it's deceptive, it can destroy a person. Love just happens. I don't have control over it. And this is based on the assumption that love is a feeling and falling in love is unplanned and sporadic. Listen, have you taken note of that? The first myth, we said love just happens. I don't have control over it. Hallelujah. This guy is a crazy guy. He will not go anywhere. I just fell in love with him. What do you expect me to do? This guy is abusive, destructive future. If nothing is done, I just fell in love with him. I don't know what to do. Love just happens. You don't share the same faith. The Bible talks about not being unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Somebody said, love just happened. I just fell in love with an Amina on the other side. You know, there's Amina on this side. There's an Amina in the church. Amen. But you understand what I mean? I mean, what do you want me to do, Pastor? I don't know. I can't live without it. And then she's not born again, or he's not born again. Doesn't want to get born again. But he just said, it just happened. What do you want me to do about it? I have these deep feelings. I have this deep connection. You don't understand. We don't understand. Or they wake up. When life hits you, your eyes will be cleared. And sometimes you paint pictures. Oh, he's such a nice person. He's a nice. I'm going to preach one of these colors of love. I'll preach nice and nothing. Nice is not enough. Because a lot of ladies have been tricked by this nice thing. He's nice. He's just nice. He's such a nice person. Don't you understand? When a man likes and wants something from a woman, he has to be nice. Wake up. It's normal. Every man is nice when he wants something from you. You can write it down for free. Every man is nice. Hallelujah. So kick nice out of your criteria. Just take it off somewhere. Look for something else to replace it. Maybe loving or caring or something beyond nice. But you know what I mean by nice? He buys me things. He's sensitive to my feelings. You know, some people are naive. Listen, there are guys that have used their time to study what women think and what women want. In case you don't know. Some of them, when you hug them, you want to stay there. They cologne alone. And in case you don't know, there are guys that don't marry you. They don't know you said to marry. They are not. Listen, when you want to marry, don't look for guys that don't want to marry. You know what I mean, guys that don't want to marry? Sweet lips, players, check their track record. No, watch this now. This guy graduated at 23 from university. He has a nice job, has 2-3 cars that are Porsche to play with. He's 37, he's not married. Hold on. And then he has been around. You know what I mean? He has been around. The escapades are there. You know it. Then he's explaining to you that you are different. No, it's possible. Someone can be 37 and not married. But this one, you know, his escapades are there. They are not hidden. A man is telling you are different. And you truly believe that you are different. Because Pastor preached that you are unique and different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is somebody following me? Write this down. Falling in love, in quote, is a decision you make. Based on who you are, where you are going, and God's plan for your life. So it's not sporadic. It doesn't happen to you. You happen to it. Amen. Meaning when somebody enters your ecosystem, somebody enters your radius, it should have run through your mind if this person is qualified to be falling in love with or not. I'm talking to the singles now. Is she qualified to be falling in love with? I'm just using terms that you can understand. Meaning, you ask, can I fall in love with this person? There's nothing like you fall in love and, oh, I just fell in love. No. Listen, your life on earth is a business venture. Be profit-oriented. Meaning, in a measure, you have to be transactional when it comes to relationship. What is it bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table? As far as you are concerned, as far as your destiny is concerned, as far as where you are going is concerned. It doesn't just happen. Are you listening to me? So it's a decision. You can underline decision. You make based on who you are, where you're going, and God's plans for your life. Meaning if your emotions are going in the wrong place, in the wrong way, you can call them back. You can call them back. Your emotions are good passengers but bad drivers. Meaning you have to drive your emotions. Amen. Meaning you tell yourself you can unfall in love. Makayas. Who got that? You see, you find, you know, unfall in that love. Somebody told his daughter, he said, you can't marry, you fell in, you can't. Just come out of the fall. It's not, this one, you can't marry him. Amen. Just come out of the fall. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Amen. A woman told her daughter, you know, she was getting married. It was her wedding. She was planning for her wedding. I think I've said it here before. She was planning for her wedding. And then the mom will say, okay, we'll use this event center. It's a wedding gown. Take this one. Say, mom, I like this. No, take this one. To this. She just said, mom, this is my wedding. The mom looked at her. She said, sit down. My wedding was my mother's wedding. No, he said, my mother's wedding was my grandmother's wedding. My wedding was my mother's wedding. In case you don't know, your wedding is my wedding. When you have daughter, you make the decision. So wait for yours to come. Ali, some of you have such mothers. Please love them. Amen. And give them the honor to do what they want to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Okay, so love doesn't just happen. You plan. You are intelligent about it. You are deliberate about it. You are transactional about it. Amen. So you don't, there's no, I put the story of the lady I took to a Chinese restaurant. How many of you remember the story? I mean, good looking, lovely, school, did her master's abroad, came at noon before she went. She loved God. Amen. In a way, firstly, is laughing. Okay, went out to Chinese restaurant, went to the movies, went to Chinese restaurant, and then we're just connecting again and all that. I was getting interested and we're just talking, and then there was alcohol. She said, yeah, we can drink here and there. She wasn't convinced that you're not to be drinking as a Christian. Very fast, my mind went to the future. I said, pastor's wife. I just imagine my wife tipsy and coming out of the office. Right there in the restaurant. He finished that day. Why? I'm loyal to my future. Beauty, not important. Class, not important. He finished that day. Are you listening? So it's not you go, there's an intelligence involved. Hallelujah. Let me go to the next point. Number two. Yeah, okay, number one, you can have this scripture, Amos 2 verse 3. Bible says, can two walk together, they'll be agreed. So there has to be compatibility of core values, character, and competence. We'll handle those things as we go. Number two myth. It's a curse to be single when your mates are all a Muslim getting married. Write it down. Myth number two. False notion number two. It's a curse to be single when all your mates, most of your mates, are getting married and age is not on your side. Ask that one. It's a curse to be single when all your mates are getting married, all or most of your mates are getting married and age is not on your side. That is a myth. That is a lie from the pit of hell, sponsored by wrong culture to put unnecessary pressure on your life and destiny. Do you hear what I said? That is a lie from the pit of hell, sponsored by cultural pressures, wrong culture, wrong processes to put pressure on your life and destiny. Listen, it is a blessing to be single. It is a blessing to be married. Why is it a lie? Number one, you don't have mates. You don't have meat. Meaning when God created you, He put you in a class of your own. And most of the things that will come to you in life, it may be even in career, in ministry, in business, prosperity, business success and all that, will come to you your own way. Are you listening? You don't have a class. Let others inspire you, but never be intimidated by the progress of others. The success of others doesn't mean you are failing. Very important. The timing of others doesn't mean it's your time. We have different seasons in our sojourn on earth. So make the most of your own life, believing that, look, I am unique, I am different, I am special. God's dealings with me are different from every other human on the earth. It is said that no two human beings have the same fingerprint. That's to show that we were not mass produced. We were carefully crafted. And so show that every man is in a class by himself. Every lady is in a class by herself. You handle your stuff with God. Talk to the Lord. You want to get married? And there's nothing wrong with desiring to get married. Talk to the Lord about it and set the principle of faith in motion. If it has not happened yet, what are you supposed to do now that you are not engaged yet? Now that nobody is saying hi yet? Now that you are not in a relationship? Now that, what are you going to do? That's the important thing. So you go to the Lord and understand your individual dealing and walk with the Lord. No meat. Because the parameter will be wrong. You will start comparing, you will come under pressure. And this is how people go and produce Ishmael instead of Isaac. Ishmael is the child of the flesh. You are cooking the thing. They say, get pregnant for him, you trap him down. Wisdom of the world. Wisdom of the world. They say, sleep with him. If you give him sex, he'll be attached to you. Wisdom of the world. Really? Really? That's why I told you, set your standard. When you go to the car shop and you test drive, it's not guaranteed that you should buy. Selah. It's not a guarantee. And mind you, there are cars you don't test drive. Go and Google it. There are cars. You enter a Ferrari shop, you don't test drive them. They'll tell you he was test driven and kept. You don't test drive. You set your standard. You set your standard. Any man that wants to sleep with you where you are not married to him does not love you. I know the wisdom of God doesn't, the wisdom of the world doesn't sound like that, but this is the wisdom of God. And worse still, the person is putting pressure on you to sleep with him. And you are feeling tall. I am 32. Nothing has happened. He's a nice person. I mean, in fact, in this day itself, who even marries as a virgin? You are talking nonsense. You are talking nonsense. Listen, when a man loves you and is marriageable, he wants to rush the marriage so that he can have what he wants. If he really loves you, is that not true? They are all quiet. I got you right where I want you. No, let me blow some people's cover. There are men that are not interested in marrying yet. And what I mean yet, they don't want to marry in the next 10 years. And they are 32. Amen. I'm not saying 20-year-old, though. They are 32. I'm telling you the truth, so know it. Men that are not interested in marriage, and you are hanging around them, you are in trouble. They are not interested. They are still testing waters across board. But some of them come to church. Amen. They are in every church. So it's not it. I know I'm blowing somebody's cover. Somebody's angry right now. There's nothing you can do about it. Are you listening to me? Go with the wisdom of God. You don't have mate. You are in a class of your own. Walk with God. Set the principle of faith in motion. It will happen at the right time. There's no curse because everybody around you is getting married and you are not even in the relationship. You are not cursed. Amen. There's nothing wrong with you. Only few people have maybe negative pronouncement over them and all that. And that will be very obvious. Most times it will be an entire family thing. Amen. And it has to be prayed about and broken. And it doesn't take forever to break it. So once after prayer is made and it's broken, you are free. Don't go and be thinking, so maybe I'm cursed. Maybe there's a curse working. What is happening? In fact, there are people that take them for deliverance once they are 25 or 24 and nobody is coming to marry them. They carry them for deliverance. Amen. You don't deliver from what? Monthly deliverance maintenance. I say, nobody, your mother has, you say, nobody has come. What is happening? Let's go for deliverance. Hallelujah. Am I blessing you? Remember, singleness does not mean loneliness. It's not the same thing. You have to be single. That you are single doesn't mean you should be lonely. But somebody said, but God said it's not good for Adam to be lonely. Wrong. You didn't read it well. He said it's not good for man to be alone in the context of his assignment. So we say purpose before partner. Purpose before partner. It's not good for man to be alone. It didn't mean Adam was lonely. He wasn't lonely. How did I know? Adam was not aware that he needed the helpmeet. He wasn't aware. That means he was happy and fulfilled. Remember, Jesus was not married. Paul was not married. Mother Teresa was not married. There are many people in history who were not married. Are you saying they were not fulfilled? I'm even going to get into that in full detail. But the point is, singlehood or being single is a blessing. It's not the same thing as being lonely. It's not the same thing as being half. It's not the same thing as halfness. So somebody is walking in his mind, he's half. Say, I'm just half. I'm not a complete human being, I'm just half. Where is my better half, Lord? Where is my better half? Nonsense. Where is my better half? Being single does not mean you are half. Marriage is not two halves coming together. No, it's two whole, complete, satisfied people coming together. If you come together with someone who feels they are half, you are in trouble. Because they're going to make demands. They're going to have expectations you may not be able to meet. And number one reason for divorce is unmet expectations. But people that are whole come into marriage knowing what they are to offer. They are more conscious of what they are bringing to the table than what the other person is bringing to the table. But when you think you are half, imagine, how could a whole human being that God could turn his image and act like they think they are half? And they are looking for their better half. Am I talking to you? You are not half. You are whole and blessed. Glory to God forevermore. A marriage becomes very beautiful when two whole people meet. Hallelujah. Number three myth. Let me just play along and marry him or her. He or her will change afterwards. Let me play along and marry him. He will change afterwards. Have you gotten that? Myth number three. That's false notion number three. Well, I remember on the 23rd of June, Pastor preached that anything is possible. Pastor preached that people can change. So I may be a bad boy, maybe a bad girl. He may be an unserious man. He will change when we marry. Some of you have heard people say that. She will change when we marry. Who he is, is who he shall be after. Are you listening? Now, let me qualify this. This thing is in the area of character and core values, especially. People behave their best before marriage. That's the way God designed it. Now, you are trying to impress a lady. You know, it's God's design. Men will always try to impress women. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody says it's not a good thing to have a house help, to have a male house help at the same time. Let me not go into the story. Listen. How did I get into this? There's something I was trying to say, please. Let me not lose my line of thought. Pardon? No, let me go. Let me take a connection. Yeah, thank you. In the area of character and core values. Amen. In the area of character and core values. Don't expect people to change. Let the change you want be obvious before you get married. Let it be in progress. And actively progress. The person, we're not saying marry a perfect person. But if this is someone who is working on himself, you know. Not because they told you, you can see it. If you see someone who's working on herself, you know it. If you see someone who is making progress on a journey of transformation, you know. And by the way, I'm not saying the person should be perfect. I'm saying you will know. And for sometimes the phase of so-called journey that some people are will need more time. So you pause marriage until there's a change to a particular degree. The guy is always angry. He has problem with anger and rage. He slaps you and he apologizes. He said he's sorry and he does. He buys you all kinds of gifts and does that. And guess what? Your wedding is in 8 weeks' time. Now, you can still marry him, but that wedding cannot happen in 8 weeks' time. The wedding has to be postponed indefinitely. It will prove, is your opportunity to prove whether he loves you or not and whether it's going to change or not. Are you listening? So sometimes, yeah, so those things can be managed. People can come out of it. But see, there must be something you can hold on to before you go into the marriage. He beats you up 2 weeks, I'm sorry, 8 weeks to your wedding. It has to be postponed. It doesn't mean the relationship should scatter. It could be a mistake. And it's possible he's working on it. But you can't marry him in 2 weeks' time. Are you listening? Or she insults you from head to toe. And your wedding is in 6 weeks' time. And insults your mother plus herself. And your father. A useless family. I don't even know why this is. And he's just going, I'm sorry. I was just emotional. You know all this pressure. Eh? Now marriage cannot happen in 8 weeks' time. Are you listening? You know why I use two different examples? Because to man, respect is like oxygen. Amen. You see how your man will change suddenly when you start honoring and respecting him. It's instant. It's like this. It's like this. Without him knowing, so unconsciously. Unconsciously, he sees your fine hair now. Unconsciously. It's a program. So he's there. He says, submit and honor your husband. Then husbands or men, pay attention. Love. Pay attention. So it's something we have to grow and develop it. What is the third myth again? He will change at all. Don't do it. You will run into trouble. Set your standard high. Again, I'm saying that. Don't do it. And you see, the third one is connected to the first two. So, to the first one. Number two talks about being under pressure, people feeling their cost. Most times people start making provisions mentally to go into things that are wrong because they are under pressure. Because they are under pressure. Some is because they see it as an economic escape. Because they have some money, he showed you a balance of his account. You saw 5 million. You saw 20. Are you that cheap? You saw 25 million there. Okay, and then he's saying he wants to marry you. Your brain has calculated. And then you are thinking of all the suffering. Even your mother will call you and sit down. He said, Jane, sit down here. You know what you have suffered? And God has raised you for such a time as this. And you are saying, he slapped you. What is slap? Your father and I have been married for 40 years. Can't you see he beats me sometimes? And then you are beginning to think, to take something that is less than God's best. And you begin to hope he will change. They don't change. Amen. That's left to God. You are not the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's a myth. It's the wrong notion. You must have something to hold on to. Something to walk in with. You know the funny irony? When men marry, they hope the women don't change. And when women marry, they hope the man will change. That's number three. Let me close. Myth number four. Marriage is to be endured, not to be enjoyed. Marriage is to be endured, not to be enjoyed. Is a myth, is a wrong notion, again sponsored from hell. Listen, why does Satan propagate ideologies that are antichrist? To multiply your own belief and your suffering. So he propagates ideologies that are not consistent with the thinking of the kingdom. And they become popular sayings around. People say, all men are the same. All men are cheats. You know, you hear all kinds of things. They say, all men are cheats. All women, and by the way, you know he said, you know, the incidence of women cheating is rising. Our generation, we have work to do. We have a lot of work to do. They say men cheat more, women cheat smarter. Amen. In fact, the boyfriend will be the one to drive her to the place of cheating and just park. Let me not go into that. He don't need it. But it's true. It's true. Man, why? Because, you know, women are very smart people. It's just that culture has suppressed them. Listen, women are very smart and intelligent people. Men, because of the responsibility of vision on them, they are very unidirectional. A man in city is hiding his feet. He has two passwords. But I will know that something is wrong now. Two passwords you are trying to hide. Fine girl pass is looking like this, or just looking. When a woman enters a place and there are maybe 10 guys, she doesn't need to look to know. The man will be looking like this. Are you here? Glory to God. So because of all this, I know I'm talking to you. We've heard things, demonic dogmas, men are this, all women are this, women like money too much, women are this, women don't really love, men don't really, you know, all kinds. Some of you understand what I'm trying to say. You see them, some of your friends say those negative things. And some have come to the demonic conclusion, which is a myth, that marriage is to be endured. They say it's a prison. Choose your prisoner wisely. Choose your co-prisoner wisely. But that's not in the Bible. Amen. All kinds of things. That marriage is to be endured. It's not to be endured. It's to be enjoyed. Can I get an amen? And sometimes you may have a background where you don't have pictures of the right marriages. Look for people. There may not be perfect marriages, but there are people who are walking at perfections. There are people who at a level are enjoying their marriage. They love themselves. They are not killing themselves. And look for those pictures. Are you listening? Every day, war room. War. Amen. No. Glory to God. No. And you see, when you pay attention to refuting and expunging this dimension, you make the right decisions and you will enjoy marriage instead of enduring it. And if you're already married and it's as though you are enduring the marriage, seek counsel. Okay, pay attention to some of the things you'll be sharing. In fact, I said some things already in the course of my talk. Pay attention to them. Are you honoring? You know, in Africa, we believe in superstition a lot. Instead of a woman to change and be more respectful, she wants to fast and pray that God will touch her husband. But the Bible's according to, but she's reading the Bible. Pay attention. Honor, respect him. You may solve 50% of the problem. She will not hear. She thinks 3 days I fasting is better than controlling the way she talks to the man. Have you noticed that in Proverbs talk about two kinds of women, the strange woman and the virtuous woman. Have you noticed? And they have one common weapon: words. Go and read it again. Go and read it again. How did a man got lured in Proverbs 7, right? Lured by the strange woman. Words. Words. They both have that in common. Words. The virtuous woman, the Bible says, the opening of her mouth shall be wisdom. It shall be wisdom. Words. So it may be that you have to talk to your husband more correctly, more honorably, more respectfully. Glory to God. And the same thing for the man. Pay more attention. Women have the grace to multiply. So if you are giving them trouble, they'll multiply back to you. Are you listening? They have womb now. Who incubates seed to multiply? The woman. Glory to God. So it's supposed to be enjoyed, not endured. Seek the wisdom of God. But see, when you know what to expect, when you know what to expect, you will seek rightly. And so when you say, Lord, my home, what do you have to say? My home, what is your will, Lord? What do I do? Speak to me. You can only say that when you know that marriage is supposed to be enjoyed and you are enjoying it. So you go to God expecting to receive answers because you know you are to enjoy it. And those who are not married yet, that should be your expectation. And whatever challenge you have in the marriage, it should not change God's mind in your heart. Know that as far as God is concerned, whatever God doeth, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Marriage is from God. God instituted it. So it cannot just be to be endured. Glory to God. Are you still here? Number 5. And I'll just close here. I'll take a few questions. Number 5. Once I am married, I'll be satisfied and fulfilled. Number 5 myth. Once I am married, I will be satisfied and fulfilled. You know, the way some people pursue marriage is like, that's the end. If God can answer this prayer, that will not ask you anything again. That's a lie. Listen, look up at me. Let me tell you something, especially the ladies. There's nothing wrong with believing God to be married. So don't pretend about it. Lord, I want to be married. And like I said earlier, you set the law of faith in motion. Is that okay? But you see, at no time should your entire life be about getting married. There are things to do. There are things the Lord expects you to do. How much value are you adding to humanity? How much value are you adding to the house of God? How much value are you adding to the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Adding to church, to the ministry. your prayer life, 90%, at no point, I don't care whatever pressure you are facing, 90% of your prayer cannot be around marriage. Because when you are doing that, it's as though you are saying, once I'm married, I'm fulfilled and satisfied. It's a myth. It is not true. It is not true. It is important, but give it its place of importance. Marriage is not the key to fulfillment. If it is, Jesus was not fulfilled. Can I get an amen? Marriage is not the key to fulfillment. If it is, Apostle Paul was not fulfilled. Can I get an amen? It's not. It's important, it's good, but it's not the key to fulfillment. When you start cutting corners and doing things like you are no longer a Christian, just to get married. No. And it's a lie. Once you get married, you are not fulfilled. It's when you fulfill your destiny that you are fulfilled. When you carry out your assignment on earth, that you are fulfilled. And this is why we say purpose before partner. Meaning what will affect your choice of partner is where you are going. What will affect your choice of partner is who you are. What the Lord has asked you to do. What your life is about. So when the man is coming around you, he may be a cute man, but it's not important. Ask him, where are you going? And there are general answers. Don't be satisfied by general answers. Anybody can say, I'm going to fulfill purpose. That is ambiguous. That is vague. We are going to help lives. That is ambiguous. That is vague. Listen, lady, if you are working with God, you should be able to identify a man on a mission. Did you hear what I said? If you are working with God, you should be able to identify a man with a vision. A man on a mission, not a vision. Saying, oh, I want my business to increase to 100 million in the next 3 years. That is not vision. That is not vision. And that is why it is terribly wrong and foolish to say, I cannot marry a man who is not rich. No. Never say that. Never. That's wrong. That's the wrong parameter. That means you have put a price on yourself. It's money. And if it's money, there are people that are ready to pay for it and mess you up. Are you listening? There's money in this world. Amen. Some of you have watched that video of a guy who flew his Bugatti, his Lamborghini, from United Arab Emirates to US to drive to cross the border to Canada. He said he wants to drive his car in US. He flew the car to the US. Do you know what that means? So when the guy stopped him, where the police guy stopped, he said, your car has foreign number. He said, yes, that's how I want it. I flew it. I have all the documents. The police guy never heard us. Who flew his car? And then crossed the border and then drove back and flew back. So you're talking money. It cannot be your price. It cannot be your price. There are many people who made those decisions because of money. They are driving in nice cars around town, but they are depressed. They are suffering. Some of them are being abused. Your worth is more than that. The Bible says, what is the price of a virtuous woman? Her price is more than rubies. Far more than rubies. So money cannot measure you. Because you are not going to be broke. Come on now, talk to me, ladies. Hallelujah. Once I get married, I'll be satisfied and fulfilled. It's a myth. That ain't going to happen. You'll find purpose and you'll be fulfilled. I'll take 3 questions and then I close. Have you been blessed this morning? We'll build up from here on Sunday. Let's put the questions together. Have you written your questions? Hallelujah. Never forget the important things we've shared today. When you walk with the wisdom of God, you have peace. Ladies, set your standard. Okay. Stick with what God has said. You see, again and again and again and again. And some of you have had the bitter experiences. I've counseled people, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not a lot of them. Or people who were treated anyhow. It may not be everybody, but large percentage who were treated anyhow. They just abandoned them in the middle of the road, relationship, because they did not subscribe to the wisdom of God. Most times, all of the cases, when I ask them, have you slept with him? The answer is yes. I'm pastor, you can't lie to me. The answer is yes. Set your standard. Set your standard. We can't act like we're in 21st century and God is not important anymore. Amen. Are you listening to me? Set your standard. And take side with the wisdom of God. Do you have more questions? Maybe let me just take one more. It's okay. Okay, I've mentioned it now. Okay, listen to this first question. If you were listening while I was talking, I talked about it. Human traditions versus the wisdom of God. I talked about it. It says, since there is this culture that you must know your partner before marriage, just to be sure she's clean, what would someone do if he or she is in that shoes? Hallelujah. Let me add. So, now, no, don't laugh. Just hold on. You know, some people don't know. Amen. And I have to answer. Please, can you look up at me? And if you're the one that asked this question, I need you to listen very well. If you truly ask this question, I need you to listen very, very, very well. Chances are you've not heard me teach for a long time. All right? And I need to listen. You see, in life, your allegiance must be clear. If you are not a Christian, you're asking this question, I'll make another call. You get born again afterwards. Now, if you're a Christian, you have to ask yourself, what is your allegiance? Is your allegiance to Jesus or to human culture and tradition? That's the first question. Number two, what are your core values? Who are you? Are you a person of value? Value means the core principle by which you operate. It determines what you do and what you don't do. Because if you don't define it clearly, one day they'll come and tell you, hey, please come and make good sacrifice here so that this headache you're feeling can stop. It's because your grandfather did say, hey, good sacrifice. And there's nothing like, Jesus, forgive me. Stay good and sacrifice. You are not a Christian. They'll say, there's nothing wrong. It's just tradition. It's just culture. Listen, Muslims understand this. It's just that Christians don't understand it. You are first a Christian before you are a Nigerian. I don't know how we're going to drive into the brain of Christians. You are first a Christian before you are an Igbo man. You are first a Christian before you are an Igede man. You are first a Christian before you are an Hausa man. You are first a Christian before you are a Nigerian. That order must be clear in your mind. Listen, once that is clear, certain places are no-go areas. What do you mean test to see if the person is clean? As in, I don't understand. That is the wisdom of this world. Going somewhere. You know what this means? You that want to be tested. When you are not clean. And what does... Jesus. You know what clean means. That's the Bible calls it fornication. Do you understand? Is fornication is sexual sin? There's no testing, no culture covers you before God. Can I get an amen? So if you're a Christian, you're a Christian. I say set your standard and define your allegiance. Define your allegiance. I think I've done justice to that. Don't justice to that question. There's no place for that in Christianity. Amen. Thank you, sir. From myth number four. Sir, am I permitted to walk out of an abusive marriage? Okay, powerful question. Especially when it has to do with constant emotional abuse. I'm losing my mind gradually, but the society is against me leaving that home. I can't even pray for him or myself again. Powerful question. Now, there are two things. You would have to see my wife and I, okay, either today or during the week, fix an appointment is important. You need to see a counselor. That is important. But let me just give a general answer for everybody so that we can hear. Listen, God is big on marriage. God is big on making marriage work. God is against divorce. Are you listening? Very important. God is very big on marriage. Why? Marriage is beyond man loving woman. Marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. Glory to God. And that picture is to show that, look, this is blood covenant. I will not leave my blood covenant partner. His rubbish has become my rubbish. Her rubbish has become my rubbish. His weakness has become my weakness. Are you listening? That's what I preached a message. Like 2 years ago. It was the colors of love. I talked about why marriages fail. And the first thing was the lack of understanding of marriage as a covenant. How many of you remember that? But a lot of people don't understand that marriage is a covenant. We're going to get into that. When you understand the covenant of marriage, your approach will be different. When you know that it's a covenant, you will see the defect in your partner as something that can be corrected. And as a covenant partner, you will stand your ground for it to be corrected. So when you see it as an association where you have sex and have children, it's not thick enough. When you see it as a covenant, it changes everything. You know, look. Look. This is my covenant partner. This is his weakness. And we'll deal with it together. Are you listening? We will deal with it together. And sometimes the person may not even know it's a weakness. It doesn't make any difference. You are connected to him. Your words have power over her. Your words have power over him. Are you listening? Now, for the person who has the question for immediate help, you will need to see us. Okay. So that we can give counsel. And if you are in the position to talk to the person, we'll do that. If you are not, we'll find a way to do it. Amen. Now, there are conditions where we prescribe separation. Alright? As pastors, we prescribe temporary separation. Amen. Okay. Especially when a person's life is in danger. I'm not part of those people who say, okay, just stay there and enjoy. If your life is in danger, you have to be separated. Okay? For the time being. And then, we'll get to know from him, do you want to be married to this woman? Yes, these are the conditions. No, you walk away. If the person doesn't want to marry you, I'm so sorry, you made the wrong decision already. You are not the one to leave. The person wants to leave. And it's in the Bible. The person leaves. Now, there are complex things around the person leaving. It's not that, okay, the person has left, I want to marry, or, you know, all those things people do selfishly. And somebody got divorced after 8 days, they got married. That's nonsense. Okay. They were not in that marriage. Okay. That's not what I'm talking about. Are you here? Okay. I am setting to marry a particular lady. But the day you decide to be truthful and tell them how you are financially stable, okay, how you are not financially stable, they go away. But when you lie, she stays. And it keeps happening like that. What should I do? Now, you may be laughing, but this is real. The vicissitudes of life have made many people financial conscious, including church people, turn talking minister females. And that's the truth. That's the truth. I told somebody, I said, this lady did not want to marry this guy because she thinks she's not financially stable. That's all. It's not, there's no story about it. There's a fine man. Either he's not financially stable now, and then she's not certain about his future financially. There's no other thing. I told my wife that. Amen. Are you listening? And then, you know, I understand. Sometimes people come from background where they have gone through things. But you see, a proof of your spiritual growth is that you can reach things spiritually. If not, you are not growing. When you are looking for a way of escape, amen. Now, ability to see someone who is going somewhere. I call it counting people's stars. I told that lady, you must learn to know how to count people's stars. You know someone who is going somewhere, and you are certain this man is going to go somewhere. There will be challenges, but it's going somewhere. It's not negotiable. Amen. Now, the person who asked this question, you will have to be truthful. You can never build anything on lies. Never. It will not work. It has no foundation. You have to be certain. In fact, that's opposite. I had a friend who scared his fiancé to death by saying all kinds of the negatives. He said, I'm broke. Back in school, say, I'm going to be a pastor. There'll be suffering. No, I'm serious. As he wanted to be sure, my friend, he said, see, there'll be suffering. Especially that beginning part, you will suffer. Okay. Hey, I'm in final year. Okay. And I'm asking you. That means, understand, I'm a man of faith who trusts God. But look, you will suffer. You will, as in, he was. You understand? He just said it the way it is. This is my bank card. There's nothing. I started walking. Okay, but I'm going somewhere. I love you very much. You already know. Okay, I know that. Are you interested? If you are not interested, I walk away now. I don't want to try to paint to you what is not there. Yes, you understand? And so that's cool. And the lady was okay with it. Okay, that's cool. Do you understand? That's real. So be truthful. Be truthful. But in your voice, we should know that you are going somewhere. By your actions, we should know that you're going somewhere. Is that okay? All right. The last question for the... I have another one. Okay, I have one. Let me have it. As a lady, how do you know when is the right time to marry? Your heart to tell you. No, your heart to tell you. It's no environment. Your heart to tell you. Now, it's an interplay of your heart and the visions you have set before yourself. If you tell yourself, before I'm this, I need to have done this. Okay, these are the things I want to do. Marriage may not feature in what you want to do. But if along the line, somebody comes around, okay, you pray about it, and then it keeps coming, you can step down on those your plan to marry 5 years from now. And then marry next year. Do you understand? That's one. The other side is your heart will tell you. You just know when it's time to marry. You just know. You will know. It doesn't mean you should be jittery about it. It just doesn't mean you should be, you understand? But you know. And like I told you, as a Christian, once you know, engage your faith. Is that okay? That you know doesn't mean there's someone. Now, if you know and there's someone, or you're asking this question because you are in a relationship, okay, there's someone, and then you are not sure, okay, do I marry? Your heart will tell you. Your heart will tell you. Or you can also seek for counsel. Is that okay? But your heart is not be a big deal. If you are marriageable, meaning you are physically matured, amen. You are not 13, you are not 14, you are not 15, you are not 16, amen. You are emotionally matured, okay. You are mentally stable, you are psychologically mature. That's something to use to measure to. You are spiritually mature to a particular level, amen. Meaning, if your child is running temperature, you should be able to pray and cast out the temperature. Okay, cannot be duty. I don't know what to do. Honey, where are you? That means you are not mature. Part of maturity is calmness in the face of storm. Magayas. Calmness in the face of storm. Not running health aspects. You don't know. That's part of maturity. Part of how to reach yourself if you are ready to marry. Maturity, emotional maturity, psychological maturity. I hope we'll get into all that. Okay? How do you handle pressure? And in fact, it's even more serious for a man than a woman. Okay? A man should be stable in the face of storm. Even when you don't know what to do, act like you know what to do. You say, should I just calm down? Everything will be fine. And you'll be amazed at how much confidence you project to her. Two of you cannot be jittery at the same time. What nonsense? You cannot be running. No. There's a calmness. There's the calmness. And I say, don't relax. It will be fine. You may be shaking inside, but it's part of leadership. A leader doesn't shake. Do you understand? A leader doesn't shake. A leader doesn't shake. So you are calm in the face. You are calm. And say the wisdom of God will flow when you are calm. So psychological maturity is a requirement. It's part of the indices you can use to know when you are ready to marry. Financial maturity. Financial maturity doesn't mean you have everything. But you understand how money works. You are disciplined. Somebody who is still calling his mother for money cannot marry. Are you listening? Mommy, and then threatening his mother to give him money. Cannot marry. Amen. He can't. He can get married maybe a year after, but he has to grow out of that. His dad and money. Meaning he doesn't think he can produce yet. Listen, you cannot marry a man who cannot produce yet. He may be a student, but he should produce. Are you listening? One of our pastors married in his final year now. Yes. Final year, he had just graduated. He had not served. The pastor of Local Jab Church, Pastor Armstrong. And he was just writing his final exams. And then he got married 2 months later. Yes. Because he was matured. And I talked with him. He was financially mature. Psychologically mature. Okay, go ahead and marry. So it has nothing to do with days. There's a sense of calmness, a sense of judgment. You are not... Amen. Are you learning something? Uh-huh. So, those are the things you use. Those are the things you use. If a man cannot produce, let him go and carry block and make money. If he's not productive, he will waste your time. You will soon become the breadwinner of the house. Are you listening? So, maturity along this line is important. In rating, who you can marry. And I'm sure the guys, you are taking notes. Both ladies and guys, you are taking notes. How to be matured. How to grow. And that's a challenge for you to grow. Okay? It's a challenge for you to grow. Hallelujah. Good morning, sir. I'm in a relationship. And it seems like the guy doesn't always know what to do. Okay? Should I tell him what to do, or just let time pass until he learns by experience? Okay. So, brother, if you are here, your relationship data is low. Maybe you have like 200 MB left. Your relationship data is low. Maybe 200 MB left. It's much more. Maybe 50 MB left. By what to do, I'm sure she's trying to talk about how to take care of her, saying the right things, decisions, making decisions and all that. Now, this is a very big stuff. It depends on the face of the relationship. And it depends on the context of what to do. If it's the area of being romantic and relating with you, it can be improved on in a short time. You understand? Okay, for those that are spiritual brother, the rule is clear. Bible on one hand, chocolate on the other hand. Amen. Amen. Meaning, it's not Bible you'll be reading all the time, and messages you'll be listening to all the time. Amen. Okay. I mean, women and shawarma and chocolate and suya go together. Amen. Okay. And nice things. And please don't say you don't have money. Let me tell you, love is about thoughtfulness. Listen, if you send 200 recharge cards in the middle of the night or early in the morning, it means a lot to someone. Is that true? Not claiming you don't have money. All right, don't claiming. So it's the thoughtfulness. It's the thoughtfulness. Pay attention. If you love a lady, pay attention to her. Okay, pay attention to her. At least you are not married yet before you start complaining, okay, there are children now and all those unnecessary complaints. You understand? You are not married yet and then you are not paying attention. She said, I will allow time pass and you learn by experience. You know what she said? That's why I say the envy is low. All right, so do the right things, and then as a lady, tell. Listen, there's nothing wrong with telling a guy how you want to be loved. I don't know where we got that idea from. Sit down and talk. You can take him out. Let it be on you. Say, I want to talk how I want you to love me. I'm serious. How I want you to love me. Call me twice a day. Amen. Send me SMS once a day. Okay, if you can do gifts, I won't mind. I like surprises. Okay. You understand? Glory to God. Just let him know. I like surprises. Now, there are people who don't know. Who don't know? Some of us grew up in all kinds of backgrounds. Amen. So you can, for me, when I was dating first lady, I always buy her books and tapes. She had to tell me that, look, it's not books and tapes. It will not tapes, messages. See the message. Say, this is, it will bless you. Say, sister, it will bless you. I was a bro. I'm serious. Books and tapes. Or high as Jonah, where you can jot the word of the Lord. Kai, brothers. Brothers, wake up. Amen. I had to start learning. Honestly, it never crossed my mind. For me, you are my future wife, so prepare. This is book, read. This is message, listen to it. I don't want trouble with my future. Do you understand? I don't want any trouble with my future. Please, learn everything you need to learn now. You understand? So, but of course, it doesn't mean you should go to the other extreme. Still do it. Encourage your babe to listen to messages, to read books. It's compulsory. It will save yourself of trouble. Okay? And but beyond that, okay, be interested. I had to learn to her style then. Okay? When we did, I had to learn to her style. Okay? Because I had to learn it. There's something they call melon or something, watermelon or something. Thank you. And something Rihanna or something. Rihanna. I had to learn it. Okay? And it was deliberate. It was part of my scheme, my strategy to de-escalate my ass. Because I'm always, you know, escalation. I'm always under the anointing. So, you know, sometimes you learn to de-escalate. You learn to de-escalate. Hallelujah. All these 21st century, you don't need to you already, you always de-escalated. So. I'm sure I'm speaking to the old school people. All these ones looking at me, they know what to say, they know what to do. Eh? You are not the problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, our problem, we are trying to get you escalated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed this morning? Can we lift our hands toward heaven and bless the Lord for the words we have heard? And say, Lord, I'm saying it again. I declare that I operate by your wisdom as a husband, as a wife, as a young man, as a young woman. I refuse to go with the wisdom of this world. I refuse to go with the wisdom of this world. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Can we be on our feet very quickly? Thank you, Father.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.